as Cindy explained, we once again find ourselves in pledge season. And this year, you know, I've been doing some soul searching around pledge season because I listen to NPR, except during their annual pledge drive. And I'm subscribed to several podcasts, but I always fast forward through the parts where the host asks for financial support. And it's not like I'm not generous with my money. I do donate on occasion. I'm well aware that such entities can't exist without donations. It's a well-proven fact that donations go down in churches on Sundays when the pastor talks about giving. Really, when we talk about money in general. And clearly, I emphasize, I turn off the radio, I hit fast forward. But on the other hand, part of what we do in church is talk about the real world. We talk about our lives, and we discover what God has been doing there. So, what's a girl to do? Avoid the topic, and in so doing, avoid part of our lives. As I've said before, I'm not a big fan of avoidance. Or do we go there and risk some discomfort and risk a slight dip in giving the next couple weeks? It's okay, Sue. I think we're gonna survive. But you know, I think I understand where that reaction comes from. I really do, because I have this crazy radical notion that giving is pretty natural for most people. That we're created to want to contribute what we can. That nobody wants to freeload. And if we do become that way, then that's a distortion of our nature. I feel good when I give. And I assume I'm not very different from you all. At least not in that respect. So why then do so many churches treat giving like it's something we have to figure out how to make you do? Doesn't that assume something pretty negative about you all? So this year, I want you all to know that I'm approaching this from the standpoint of believing that giving and taking care of your church and community are things that you all want to do. And do you know how I know that? I know that because you guys have gone above and beyond this year in a really hard year to do that. If there was ever a year when it would be easy to make excuses for yourself and for others to not give, it would be 2020. And yet, you all have been faithful. And it must be because you love your church. And it must be because you're generous people. And giving is the no-brainer end result of those two truths. Now, you all have gotten pledge cards in the mail, and that's because it's helpful. It's helpful for us to know about how much income we're beginning next year so we can plan for that, because we don't know how your situations may have changed. And I think that they can be good for you. I think they can be good organizational and commitment tools for yourselves. I see them that way for myself. What they are not is a tool for guilt and shame. Not for us to use against you, and more importantly, not didn't do it for me. The fire and brimstoniness of this passage is kind of the elephant in the room, so might as well talk about it. Anytime Jesus talks about hell, he uses the word Gehenna. But the thing is, Gehenna was a real place, like an actual place. It was the Hinnom Valley, southwest of Jerusalem. You can go there today. And this valley had a bad reputation. It was the place of child sacrifice at one point in history. It was where the kings of Israel of old would burn the bodies after battle. At the time of Jesus' ministry, it had become the town dump. And because of chemical reactions that take place when garbage is breaking down, it's likely that the whole valley was kind of always a little bit on fire. So it's not really that hard to understand why apocalyptic lore had it that this is the place where the unquenchable fire would begin, that this was the doorway to hell. There are similar places in our world today. There's Centralia, Pennsylvania. A coal mine fire started there in 1962 and it continues today. It took a bustling small town and turned it into virtually an uninhabitable ghost town. There's a Darvazab gas crater in Turkmenistan, but most people call it the door to hell. Surprise, surprise. A natural gas field collapsed as a result of attempts to access the gas. It formed a 226-foot wide, 98-foot deep crater. Geologists set it on fire to keep the gas from spreading. They thought it would burn itself out in a few weeks. That was in 71, and it's still on fire. The leader of Turkmenistan has used this as a warning against those who would try to develop these natural gas fields in the future, that we're messing with things we maybe don't quite understand. So it's not as if we have to imagine some otherworldly realm to understand the hell that Jesus is talking about. I think Jesus uses this word because he wants us to understand that hell is something we have the power to bring into the here and now. When we prioritize anything over loving God and loving neighbor, it might not be something we bring about on purpose, but it can happen nonetheless. And that includes what we do with our finances. I hope in this time of gratitude and giving, what we would find in ourselves is the natural desire to care for our neighbor. I know you have it in you because God made you. If life has done its level best to stamp it out of you, if you look at your neighbor and struggle to see Jesus there, might you use this season to reconnect with that part of yourself. And in all your giving, and in all your gratitude, and in all your promises, may you always know that God is really the one behind it all. May you give what you give like it's for God, because in the end, that's the only opinion that counts anyway.